chapter 9. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for divine worship, and for the earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle, a sacred tent, was put up. The outer one, our first section, in which were the lampstand and the table with its loaves of the sacred showbread. This is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was another tabernacle, the inner one, our second section, known as the Holy of Holies, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered entirely with gold. This contained a golden jar which held the manna and the rod of Aaron that sprouted, and the two stone tablets of the covenant inscribed with the Ten Commandments. And above the ark were the golden cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But we cannot go now into detail about these things. Now when these things have been prepared in this way, the priests continually enter the outer or first section of the tabernacle, that is, the holy place, performing their ritual acts of the divine worship. But into the second inner tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, only the high priest enters, and then only once a year, and never without bringing a sacrifice of blood, which he offers as a substantiatory atonement for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. By this, the Holy Spirit signifies that the way into the holy place, the true Holy of Holies, and the presence of God, has not yet been disclosed, as long as the first, or outer, tabernacle is still standing. That is, as long as the Levitical system of worship remains a recognized institution. For this, first, or outer tabernacle, is a symbol, that is an archetype or paradigm for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered which are incapable of perfecting the consciousness and renewing the inner self of the worshiper. For they, the gifts, sacrifices, and ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean food and drink and various ritual washings, mere external regulations for the body imposed to help the worshippers until the time of reformation, that is, the time of the new order when Christ will establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, that is, true spiritual worship, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not part of this material creation. He went once for all into the holy place, the holy of holies of heaven, into the presence of God, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, having obtained and secured eternal redemption, that is, the salvation of all who personally believe in him as Savior. For if the sprinkling of ceremonially defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the cleansing of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Holy Spirit, willingly offered himself, unblemished, that is, without moral or spiritual imperfection, as a sacrifice to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. For this reason, he is the mediator and negotiator of a new covenant, that is, an entirely new agreement uniting God and man, so that those who have been called by God may receive the fulfillment of the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has taken place, the payment which redeems them from the sins committed under the obsolete first covenant. For where there is a will and testament involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will and testament takes effect only at death, since it is never in force as long as the one who made it is alive. So even the first covenant was not put in force without the shedding of blood. For when every commandment in the law had been read by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and the goats which had been sacrificed, together with water and scarlet wool and with a bunch of hyssop, and he sprinkled both the scroll itself and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that seals and ratifies the agreement which God ordained and commanded me to deliver to you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the containers and sacred utensils of worship with the blood. In fact, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, neither release from sin and its guilt, nor cancellation of the merited punishment. Therefore, it was necessary for the earthly copies of the heavenly things to be cleansed with these copies, earthly copies. But the heavenly things themselves required far better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. Nor did he enter into the heavenly sanctuary to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer over and over since the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, at the consummation of the ages, he has appeared and been publicly manifested to put away sin by the sacrificing of himself. And just as it is appointed and destined for all men to die once, and after this comes certain judgment, so Christ, having been offered once and once for all to bear as a burden the sins of many, will appear a second time when he returns to earth, not only to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly and confidently waiting for him.